AWR powered by SID Media.
Time now for us to move to our glorious, or rather to our daily focus conversation. Today we're talking toxic positivity to ring grief. I have no idea what toxic positivity looks like, but someone who can tell us more about that is Gail Masonda. Sister Gail Masonda's on the line currently. She joins us now live. Good morning, ma'am.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Good, good. How are you?
I'm fine. Just glad we have electricity this morning.
Oh, you are very, very lucky. I've gotten numerous texts from people with absolutely no power this morning.
Ah, yeah. I suppose these are times where we just have to just trust.
Yeah. Well, Gail, we're speaking about toxic positivity during grief. Grief and mourning has been our, a theme this week for our daily focus. But when I saw toxic positivity, I felt it was interesting. But maybe you can just first define toxic positivity for us.
So, you know, as a counselor and in the clinical space, we look at toxic positivity as when a person denies any and all negative experiences. That's the good old South African, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. When some things aren't okay, every circumstance doesn't necessarily have a silver lining at that time. And so particularly when you have lost, and when we're talking about grief, we're not just talking about the death of a loved one, but the loss, particularly, you know, in this season around the world of the pandemic, the loss of employment, the loss of identity, the loss of relationship, whether that be a friendship or loss of a marriage through divorce, the loss of the loss of belonging, feeling like you belong. And in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, I just really bless God for Solomon's wisdom in including for every time. There's a season, for everything under heaven. And in the middle of that chapter, he says there's a time to heal. And that would suggest that there are times where we are unglued. There are times where we are sad. There are times when we're angry. There are times when we're going through regret and remorse. And that's not the time. Even in our well-meaning, that's not the time to tell people, no, you need more faith. You just don't have any faith. Or if a woman has lost a child, oh, you can have another baby. We have to be very sensitive and tender and gentle with ourselves, and then we're able to be tender and gentle with others.
And that's it's interesting, because you think that when you convince yourself that you're fine, right, and everything is going to be fine, it speeds up the healing process. But it does the opposite, doesn't it?
It delays it, because denial doesn't speed up anything. Denial holds us hostage, so to speak. You know, and the interesting thing, when you look through Scripture, God has not asked us to be positive. What he's asked us to do is do rejoice, not about everything, but in everything, because he has promised in Isaiah to hold our hand, okay? He's asked us to do faith, to do trust, to do obedience, and he has promised he will never leave us nor forsake us. It's not the other way around. If I do and be, he's asking us to do what he's given us grace to do. Every circumstance does not have a silver lining. Not every circumstance. The silver lining comes sometimes later down the pike, when you can look over an experience and see that God does know how to take lemons and make lemonade. We're so anxious. You know, I think the thing about our anxiety is that we don't like pain, and we don't like to be uncomfortable. And so in order to kind of psych ourselves up, we tell ourselves it's not that bad. Well, Sister White tells us never to measure our worth with someone else's worth, you know. every situation has been custom made for ourselves for a reason, for a purpose. And that's the thing that we have to keep in mind, particularly when people are going through a season of loss. It's really important to give people and ourselves room to grieve and to mourn. What's really interesting is that in the last chapter of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy 34, God actually gives Israel permission to mourn and weep for 30 days after Moses has died. Mm-hmm. Now, they don't know that Moses has been resurrected and taken to heaven, but he gives them permission. Romans 12:15, it says, weep with those who weep. Then there comes a time to rejoice. But in the immediate after effects of loss, that's not the time to be pushing people to make us feel better, actually. Mm. You know, if we've come to support, then let's support. If we've come to encourage, then let's encourage. But let's be tender and sensitive and caring. Seasons don't last always, but we have to allow the season to bear the fruit that it needs to bear at that time.
And how do I know I'm being toxic in my positivity? Because for some people, it's really all they know, you know, like the idea that just get on with it and just life goes on.
Well, life goes on, but God gives us, a place, space. You know, remember, Jesus had 12 disciples, right? But he shared his heart with three. That was Peter, James, and John. Those are the ones we see in the garden, the most trying time of Jesus Christ. And so sometimes we have to just recognize and ask God, actually, to help us. And that's what I'm talking about, you know, to help us to be sensitive, to teach us how to be sensitive. And even these three disciples, remember Jesus comes and he says, hey, I need you. Mm-hmm. I need your help. I need your support. Please wake up. I'm scared. And maybe they were put to sleep because they, remember Peter is the one who said, no, nothing's going to happen to you. That's kind of toxic. Remember what Jesus said to him? Get thee behind me, Satan. He wasn't talking to Peter as Satan, mm-hmm. but he knew that if he listened to Peter, if he listened to just what he was saying, no, we're not going to let anything happen to you, no, it would have been a different story. So your question was, how do I know when I'm being, overly positive? You know, we just have to check timing. Timing's everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not about, well, I don't know, sometimes the best thing to say in cases of loss is just, what can I do? What do you need? That's the best thing we can say. This is when toxic positivity is at its best. It's hiding what we really feel. Mm. It's dismissing emotion. It's feeling guilty about our emotions. You know, if we say we're afraid to say I'm angry, I'm afraid to say I'm mad, I'm afraid to say I'm sad. You know, sometimes we don't need a good sermon. We don't need to be preached at. We just need someone to be close to us.
Yeah, because I was about to say sometimes, you know, even in our approach as a church, we encourage a space where there's like over positivity. The idea that we rush and it's great that we go in there to, you know, to support the family and, you know, to give comfort. But sometimes we want to speed up the process of grief and of healing for people.
We do because we're uncomfortable. You know, have you ever been in the church service and there's been a good sermon and there's a pause? A sermon that has actually, through the power of the Holy Spirit, touched someone, and there may be more than one or two, three people crying, tears are falling, and we immediately start singing, as opposed to it's like we're uncomfortable with quiet. We don't know what to do with stillness. We don't know what to do with pain. And sometimes we have to admit that to ourselves, admit that to God. I don't know what to do in this situation. You know, it's like, I don't know how. Lord, show me how to be supportive. Show me how to be encouraging. Show me, give me wisdom in certain situations. When I said earlier about a mother who has miscarried or a mother who has had a stillborn birth, and this is a young mother, and will say to that mother, well, you can have more children. Mm. Well, that's a sting. That's not helpful. That's a kind of a double hurt, because the mother is still trying to come to grips with the fact that this baby she planned for, they planned for her and her husband, the father, they planned for this baby. There's a nursery that's full. There's been a baby shower. All of these things, and we're saying, oh, don't worry about it. You can have another baby. And at the time that we're saying that, I don't think anybody means to be malicious. I need to say that up front. Mm. I don't think we're trying to be malicious. I just think we need to take the opportunity to step back and say to ourselves, what would I like to hear? Mm. What would I like to be done for me at this time? And I think if we took time and stepped away from a situation, what I mean by step away, just step back, and really ask ourselves, what would I want at this time? And kind of take a nod from there. And then that helps us be salt. You know, there are different types of salt out here. You know, when the Lord said, be salt and be light, I'm a New Yorker. So in the winter, just as it's beginning to snow, even before the snow hits the ground, the salt trucks are out, and what the salt trucks do is they put a layer of salt down, coarse salt, so that by the time the snow melts and turns into water and hits the pavement, it doesn't become ice. So it melts. Then there's salt that we use to preserve food, right? You there's some salt fish that I was given a couple of weeks ago from a dear friend, and that fish can stay preserved for a few months because it's salted. And then there's medicinal salt in the form of Himalaya or sea salt. That's good for medicinal purposes. It's good for healing. Like if you have a sore throat, you can gargle with it. My point being, there are different types of salt and different ways to use salt. So when God asks us, when he tells us, when he commands us, be salt, he's saying sometimes just being around, you can melt the tension, you can melt the anxiety by you being present with a smile. There's opportunity to preserve the idea of rejoicing in the Lord, and there's a time and a place for that. And then there's, you know, opportunity to just be a helping hand medicinally. It's to bring food, I think, to those who are grieving when there's a loss, when there's death, to bring food as opposed to people coming to the family and expecting the family to serve them. How about we do it the other way around? There's so many ways to love as we would love to be loved. You know, it's the golden rule, right? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. I just think we've gotten caught in this is the way it's been done, so this is the way we continue to do it. But there's opportunity, you know, when Jesus shows up in Luke, in the book of Luke, he waits 4 days before he shows up after Lazarus has died. And he comes, and Mary and Martha both are very disappointed that he comes late, right? Mm-hmm. They're very disappointed. They're on the verge of anger. I think Mary was angry. And Jesus sees everyone around them weeping. He also weeps because of, remember, he's the creator. So his weeping comes from a deeper place, possibly, in the fact that He didn't create anybody to die, but this is his friend too. This is his dear, dear friend. And even knowing that he's going to resurrect this man, even knowing that, what the scriptures say, Jesus wept. He wept with Mary and Martha. He wept with the extended family. He wept with the friends. He didn't come in and say, oh, stop it now. Just stop it. I told you I was coming. I told you I'm going to raise him. Just, he relates to what's going on around him. I really, 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 really like the fact that our God in heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, they get it. They know what it is that we need. And all that toxic positivity does is really keeps us from embracing the comfort of God. Because then we start feeling guilty about being sad. You know, we tell people, right, be strong, be strong. Well, you can be strong in the Lord. And sometimes, you know, when we see people not crying at a funeral, our first sentence is, whoa,
she's so
they're
strong.
Really
yeah.
Well, how about they're numb? How about they're in shock? How about they're just moving through, just trying to get through the end of that service, you know, not even present, like body's present, but mind is far. They're in the midst of their memories, or if they've been given a tranquilizer or whatever, you know, they're there. And everybody's personality is different, so we have to cater to that as well. But I suppose what's really important is not take part in delaying the grieving process that we all must go through, that we give each other the room, the space, to be ourselves, to be ourselves in difficult situations. Does that help?
It really, really does. Thank you so, so much. I'm going to ask that we have a word of prayer, you know, for all those who are trying to process grief, who are not sure how to feel. I'm just going to ask that we ask God to guide them and to tell them that it's okay. It's okay.
Well, you know, I'm not so sure that... I'm not so sure that God just says it's okay. I believe that God tells us, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and the promise is I'll give you rest. And rest in Hebrew is also I will give you peace. Remember Jesus said, I have to go, but I'm so excited about who's coming. And he says, the Comforter. You know, that's a big word, Comforter. All of heaven knows how much we need to be comforted. You know, if we just hung around that word. You know, when you think, I'm saying comfort, and what do you think of? Let me ask you the question. What do you think of when you hear comfort?
I think of myself, because my name means comfort.
But what, you know, what's your definition of comfort?
What does it
feel like?
Yeah, it's a space, it's a place of calm, a place of understanding who God is in my life, you know, and being fine with that, you know.
And it's comfort also represents hope. We have a Negro spiritual that says trouble don't last always, and that gives us hope. I just really want to say to the listening audience that it's okay not to be okay. I think that's important, depending on the circumstances of what you're going through. And I would also like to say to the listening audience that have been called to be encouragers, and to be, you know, and to bring comfort and support. Let's all be found worthy of the calling, because we all can be caring. We all can be sensitive. We all can be tender to to ones who are in a state of loss, and whether that's loss of a loved one, loss of employment, loss of health, loss of relationships. God has promised to carry us. He's promised to carry us. And he's promised to show, you know, because here's the deal. Either we're coming out of a time of loss, or we're going to enter a time of loss. And I think that God allows that we're not all losing at the same time, so that we can be sensitive to one another. And you know, loss teaches us how to be compassionate too, by the way. When we've lost, then we're able to identify with others who have lost. I hope that helps.
It does. It does. Let's wrap this up with a word of prayer, please, ma'am.
So, Father, thank you so much for the opportunity that you give us to remind us how deeply heaven cares about us and everything that touches us. And we're just asking you to help us to be a little more sensitive to the promptings and the urgings of the Holy Spirit. Let the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable. Oh Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you so, so much for that, ma'am.
You're welcome. God bless you today.
All right. Have a lovely day.
AWR. Powered by SID Media.